I can bring home the bacon, fried up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Hello, everybody. I am so excited that we have Beth Hilton here for another Positively Entertaining. These are definitely becoming some of my favorite shows here on the Word of Mom Network. Hi, Beth. How are you?
Hi, Tracy. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We've been having some really beautiful weather here on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's really summer now and just getting out and enjoying ourselves. And you're getting ready to take a trip, yeah?
Yeah, I'm heading your way, actually. And, you know, yeah, we like, you know, have the summer year-round practically in California, but I love the East Coast summers. There's something urgent and very, you know, green about it all, and people just enjoy it so much and embrace it and do all the barbecues. So, yeah, I'm going out to visit family, and I'm going to be up
Excellent.
In the Poconos. Yeah.
Ooh, very cool, very cool.
Yeah, so I can't wait. Heading off tomorrow, actually, so I'm glad we're here today.
Yes, excellent. Cool. So what's new in Positively Entertaining land?
Well, you know, we're still working Sounds from the Circle 10. That was
yes.
The New Age Music Circle's compilation album that we just released, and it's the 10th anniversary, believe it or not. And, you know, it's a fantastic album with over 3 hours of music and 40 artists, and it's perfect for, you know, popping in for meditation or massage or nap, and
yeah,
that's just
or
something I've been
trying
to share.
Or I just love to have it on as background if I'm working on stuff where, you
exactly.
know, I'm not
yeah.
doing sound editing or everything. It's great just to kind of have as music in the background of life.
yeah, and it's physical, but you can also find it on Spotify if you just search Sounds from the Circle. So you'll
yes,
get quite
exactly.
a few different playlists from across the years. So we recommend and people find that for just setting a beautiful space in your home. You know, and
absolutely. And we had shared the link to that last month, and we'll go ahead and do that again for any listeners who haven't found it yet to make sure that they can find that.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks. So other than that, you know, I'm about to introduce a fascinating person and incredible artist named Rigsin Tromge.
Yes, I'm so excited to hear from her today. It seems like her story is fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. You know, in her wildest dreams, Rigsin never aspired to become a singer or performer, although I think she's always been very artistic. She devoted her main life's effort for over 30 years to studying and practicing the meditational lineages of Tibetan Buddhism. So, you know, the fact that she's here now and she's going to be sharing a couple of her albums with us, as well as, you know, maybe telling us a little bit about the new one that will come out this fall.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think when you hear it, you'll understand why I found it so fascinating. And I think it was Rigsin who reached out to me online, and, you know, just something about the music just touched such a deep place in me. It's very plaintive. It spoke to things I was feeling at the time. And I just really enjoyed exploring more and more of what she was about. And, you know, I guess I'll let her tell her story. We should welcome her in. Rigsin, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to Positively Entertaining.
Oh, thank you. Hello, everybody out there.
So, tell us, first of all, this is one of the coolest things. Tell us where you're calling in from.
So, I live in Northern California on the coast, a couple of hours north of San Francisco. And it's very rural here. I have kind of a dual life where I live as a hermit meditator, and then I have this very worldly kind of rock starry life. but this is my sanctuary. And it's amazing to look out over the Pacific and be surrounded by wilderness.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I really enjoy following you on social media and seeing, you know, pictures of the land and your beautiful altars that you create from meditation and your wonderful pets. And I hope that many of the moms and the entrepreneurs that we talk to, you know, really will come and visit you and take inspiration from your really independent spirit. That's what I think I love. I just, you're like this pioneer out there.
It's true. I was thinking about that before we started this conversation, that what can I, you know, say to the women, the mothers, and yeah, I've always been very independent, and I feel that in these times, we're so fortunate to be able to have that opportunity, because in all of past history, women have been kind of under the, you know, thumb of men. And in this time now, we do have this option to be independent, and I'm really taking that, and I do like to kind of emanate that as an example to other people that we can do that.
Well, it's definitely comes through in your music and in your work and in all the social media things that you share. And so maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, your life and then how you took off on this creative musical journey.
Okay. So my life has been all about my practice, and I'm a meditator and practice in the tradition of Tibetan Buddhism. And I started the path when I was 20 and then didn't really deviate from that since the beginning. So I've been super devoted. And I ended up marrying my teacher's son. So I kind of married into the lineage, and then I have a son who also was recognized as a great practitioner in the lineage. So it was a very deep connection. And
wow.
Then when I was in my early 30s, I got cancer. And I had a really rough bout with lymphoma, and that was over 20 years ago now. And so the treatments that were offered at that point were different than they are now.
Yeah. Excruciating, huh?
Yeah. And I was in an experimental program where they gave me extremely high dosages of chemotherapy. And I survived, and it was a miracle.
Wow.
And thank you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had a very young, my son was really young at the time, he was 5. And so that became a big shift in my life. I separated from my husband at the time.
And you have a different name for them now, don't you?
For my husband?
Husband.
Husband. Oh, I love it.
Isn't that good?
So hard when you told me that the first time.
That is hysterical. I love it.
I really didn't like the X part. I thought that was not good.
Yeah. Well, certainly when he's the father of your child, he's not really X because he's got to stay in your life, right? Like there's always that connection. So I think that's great, though, but you've moved on to a different relationship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's and not to make light of, you know, the midst of that process you were in, because that is terrifying. I mean, so many of us wonder how we would handle it, and it's something we really fear, you know, especially when you have young children. So how did you cope, and how do you look at that experience now?
So I suffered deeply. I really did. There's no question about that. But I do believe that we're not given anything that we don't have the capacity to step up to. So I really took it all as a blessing, and I tried to receive what benefit I could from it. And I think if we approach life in that way, it really helps us to not kind of fight against what we think is bad. We have this concept, oh, cancer, that's bad. And of course, that's normal that we would think that. But as a spiritual practitioner, then we see things in a different way than ordinary worldly conditions usually do. Mm-hmm. So I think as a, you know, something that I can share with people is that what we think is bad or what we think is too much and more than I can handle and, oh, I don't like this and I really don't want this in my life, if we just mm-hmm. kind of accept it all, not in a way of like, you know, roll over and just, you know, mm-hmm. let things harm me, we do mm-hmm. our best to go forward in the ways that we perceive will be of best benefit. But then things happen, right?
Yeah, they sure
and
do.
And so then to just really take that on and recognize that there is a benefit in everything and that somehow I believe that the universe really does have our best interest in a sense. Like whatever it is that happens to us, it's meant to. And it's our perception and how we deal with it that is the key of how we're supposed to evolve in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's, you know, that's extremely profound and yet beautifully simple, you know. And I think at that point you kind of took this new path and you said, is that when you headed north to California, Northern California?
No, I've always been here. Okay. What happened at that point was I separated from my husband. And in a sense, I kind of had to separate a little bit from my whole spiritual community. That was my whole, like, social network was there. Mm. And I just needed to go on my own. Like, I died. And everything mm-hmm. was different.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived by myself, with my son, but basically alone without really any friends for mm-hmm. a couple of years and really went internally and then kind of returned to my roots as an artist because I was always an artist. And then I connected with this whole other realm of people who were all artists. And how I got introduced into the music because they would hear my prayers and Random Rab, who a lot of the tracks that we'll listen to, he produced the first track and people loved it so much. And so then I started to pursue this avenue of music.
Right. So they were literally coming out to visit you and, you know, out there. And they heard you praying
mm-hmm.
and chanting, and they were basically saying, can we please record this?
Yeah.
You know, it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen. Let's listen to Hymn to Life.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that was the first track, and I recorded that just as an inspiration for my friend. And then he actually created that song right away. And then he asked me my permission to release that. And at first I said no, because I felt like these are my personal prayers.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went into retreat and I really contemplated that. And I was like, okay, let's put that out. And in terms of my tradition, this was a long time ago now, it was very, it wasn't actually kind of PC in a way in my tradition to do that. But I took that responsibility onto myself with this inner knowing and said, no, I think this is the thing to do. And now it's common, right? People mix, you know, spiritual practices and prayers with all kinds of things. But at
right,
that
point, world fusion, spiritual fusion. And I can see on SoundCloud there's over 8,000 listens to this.
Wow,
this track alone. And so this is off the first album, Union, right? Let's take a listen here. Also now just got this amazing beat. So, yeah. How was the reaction to that? Once your community heard it, did you have an okay time with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, people love this music. And I think how you were saying in the beginning, like how you felt when you first heard it. And from my understanding, what it really is, it's the blessing of the lineage. It's infinite prayers of love and compassion and the wish to help beings, you know, find peace in their own mind, in their own being. And so then it carries through these prayers.
Yeah.
And then the mixing it with the modern electronic, those are the people who I became friends with, were these much younger, those type of music people. So that's what I had open to me. And I felt that mixing it with the electronic music was a way to introduce this to a vast genre of people who were younger.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, sort of the dance crowd.
Yes, that's the crowd.
Festival crowd.
Yep.
So did you started doing festivals then and live performances? And I'll point out some of the imagery on the page that people should see, because your artwork's incredible and you have an art degree, don't you? And it's all kind of coming together here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. What was the first festival that you did, and what was that like?
The first festival I did was Lightning in a Bottle, and that is now become a gigantic festival in Southern California, and they were on the Rolling Stones Top 10 Festival of the Year list a couple years ago, and now they've been, I believe, taken over by Coachella, and so I've performed there many years.
And Symbiosis and Burning Man.
And Symbiosis also from the beginning, and now they're a giant, you know, festival on the West Coast. And at first, it was really, I'm really quiet, introspective person. So all of these new people that I met, they were all performance artists, and I'm not. Like, I wasn't the little kid that stood up in front of the family and said, you guys watch me, I want to do this thing. I was the one who didn't want everybody watching. Yeah. So for me to get up on a stage and sing was like the worst possible thing I could ever imagine doing. But again,
you pushed through, right?
Yeah. I went into retreat again, which is where I go. And so I went into retreat and I really prayed. And I really found my, you know, my core, my center, my practice. And then when I would sing, or still when I do on a stage, what I'm doing is I'm drawing in the lineage, like my, that's my back. You know, they have my back in a sense, like that's what I rely on. So I draw in all of that wisdom and compassion and blessing, and then I hold my own meditation to the best of my capacity, and then I just sing that out. And it's quite an incredible experience to see how people react to that. Like, people really receive so much from that. And through my time of doing this now, I've really come to kind of uncover how shamans in all of the past, that's really what they were doing, is they were, you know, drawing in all of the blessing of, you know, the wisdom of all things and all of this, and then drawing that through and sending that out in song and prayer. So it's been an amazing, like what I was saying before, you're never really given more than what you have the capacity to deal with. And I never felt that I could do this, but by not being afraid and just stepping into the doors that were opening for me, no matter how crazy it kind of looked from my side, I've grown in ways that I believe I never could have if I'd just kind of stayed in a retreat.
Yeah, I think that's a great lesson we can all learn from as mompreneurs, because
absolutely.
I was just reading something yesterday about this CEO of Yahoo, when she said, you know, I've always just done things that wasn't quite ready to do. You know, just like you said, opening, you see the door. You said, okay, you know, if you just take that step, you know, you'll have to figure it out, you know, as opposed to waiting for it to close or just avoiding it. So
trying to stay safe.
Yeah, and I think that works on any level, from, you know, just sending out your resume to performing on the world stage like this. You know, it's all just steps that, you know, we can give each other courage to take on.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us about this track, Kakana. We're going to listen to this one next.
So Kakana was the second track that Rab created, and that came out before I put out my album, Union, that it's on that album. And again, people loved it. He said he'd never really had a track like that. When he started to play it, people would clap. Like, usually people would clap after a track.
Right.
And again, that became kind of this iconic festival world track. And so then that's what inspired me to pursue this when number two came out and it was so well received.
That's what I'm going to do, is I'd love to play this track for a little bit and let people hear it, and then I'm going to do the quick shout out to our sponsor, and then we'll continue talking over each other.
Okay.
Thank you.
moment to give a shout out to our great sponsors, Safety Bags, StadiumBags.com, and Tracy's Healthy Habits, and to share a grieving father's thoughts in support of his kind campaign to raise awareness of the tragedies that bullying can lead to.
Hi, it's Dori DiCarlo, founder of Safety Bags, Inc., a line of clear bags and backpacks there to assist with safety issues in schools, offices, airports, different workplaces, public venues, and sports arenas. Both professional and college sports have now adopted a clear bag policy. Anything larger than the palm of your hand has to be clear. With that in mind, we've launched StadiumBags.com for the dedicated sports fan and more. We've been featured on GMA's Deals and Steals, on AsSeenOnTV.pro with Kevin Harrington, the original shark from Shark Tank, Worldwide Business with Kathy Ireland, InStyle TV, and more. Our clear mini backpack, mini messenger bag, and tote bag in four colors meet the size requirements for both pro and college sports. You can visit us at StadiumBags.com, and you'll see why we're the clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
Do you have health goals you can't reach? Tried and failed every plan or gained back what you lost? Every diet works while you follow it. But until you are more mindful of your habits and relationship to nutrition and fitness, you will never maintain a healthy weight. Imagine reaching optimal health, high energy, free and easy breathing, and maybe less time with doctors and medications. I lost 75 pounds 4 years ago and became a certified health coach to pay forward the habits of health. Contact me at tracyshealthyhabits@gmail.com for a free, no-obligation health assessment. We will explore your goals and what optimal health looks like for you. If you are a good fit for our program, my coaching is always free. Become the best you you can be at Tracy's Healthy Habits. That's TRACIS healthyhabits@gmail.com.
Fly high, my angel. These are four words I never thought I'd have to say about my daughter. As the father of three beautiful daughters, I thought everything was perfect. Samantha, Juliana, and Amelia were my life. Depression, caused by relentless bullying, ate at my daughter Juliana. On January 8th of this year, she took her life. Bullying has consequences, and I really don't want any other family to have to go through this. It's an epidemic that has to be rectified. Fly high, my angel Juliana. You're always in my heart.
Join them on Facebook. Juliana Caraturo Kind Campaign. That's JULIANACARRATURO-KIND campaign. Thank you.
So that one, you know, has this really, a little bit more of a chill vibe, doesn't it, than Himalaya?
Yeah,
very,
I mean,
smooth, you know, very relaxing in a sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the genres that people put those into, which I didn't know anything about music and all of that, but they call it down-tempo or trip-hop mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. electronic music world, yeah.
Right. So Unity came out as an album, and how did that affect your life, and when did you think about doing your second album, Transition?
So Union, I released Union, and I really did that as a demo and just to kind of test the water. Mm-hmm. And I kind of look back at that now as Mantra's greatest hits. Like, it was really just like all of the most important general Tibetan Buddhist mantra. And people loved it. And it was a little, you know, avant-garde at the time, and people loved it and were learning the mantras and, you know, receiving all of this goodness from these prayers. And so then I thought, okay, I'm gonna make another album. So then the second album is Transition, and as a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner, one of our main, I guess you could say, specialties is that we work with dying, and we believe that that is a very significant moment in one's life, mm-hmm. is how we pass. And so a lot of our life is in preparation for that transition. And then, of course, that benefits your every moment, daily life also. So my feeling was the most important thing I could do, if I only got to do one album, that I wanted to do. Transition is a complete ceremony in a very general way for dying. So it goes through all the steps and stages of a practice that we do, and every practice has this structure that we work with in every one. And so then I have that structure run through the album Transition, and it's meant to help people through the process of dying.
Wow, that's really quite a gift, you know.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I mean, it's just, to me, it's like the most important thing. And then again, my friend Rab, he said, well, Rigson, you didn't exactly pick something very commercial to base this album on. It's about dying, you know, but for me, it was never really about commercial. I'm a practitioner, so it's really about the prayers and any benefit that I can create with that. So it was never based on monetary gain or fame or any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But then, people love that album, and it's all kind of, you know, just by luck and that it turned out that way. And yeah, anyway, that's a story. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to read a little bit about how the album's described online.
Please, thank you.
So, Transition is a traditional Tibetan Buddhist prayers and mantras album mixed with modern electronic music production, specifically intended for support beings through the time of dying. For thousands of years, the unbroken lineage of Tibetan Buddhism has recognized the importance of the moment of death, a pivotal doorway that can bring inconceivable benefit to the deathless, eternal aspect of consciousness. And then the last line of this, the description goes on, and I encourage people to join you on SoundCloud and online to see it too at your website, Rigs and Music. But I love this. This seems like it's a little bit more of your own calling. And it says, through the medium of music, an ancient technology of vibrational medicine, we can directly influence consciousness in positive ways. Through the vastness of the World Wide Web, we have a miraculous ability to infinitely replicate these sounds and reach innumerable beings. Yeah, that is a really huge and beautiful intention.
Thank you. It's, you know, it's my vows. That's our vows, is to serve. So then this is the way that it opened for me to be able to replicate these sounds infinitely. It's mind-boggling how far it's gone already.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just explain a little bit. We say that the mantra, the sounds, they're these syllables, and we say that is awakened mind in the vibration of sound. So each and every being, all of us, all beings and not limited to humans, we all have this seed of awakened mind within us. It is our true nature, and we're just obscured by all of our stuff that prevents us from realizing that. So when we hear the mantra, or when we recite the mantra, then that vibration is resonating with that awakened nature within ourselves. And so then it helps to draw out that aspect of our being.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like calling to attention, like a bell would be, or a sound bowl, or
just... Yeah, it's calling this this energy of awakened nature through sound. So then when we hear it or say it, recite it within our own being, then that joins, that connects us more to that aspect of our being that already is awakened. We just haven't realized it.
Rixon, you know, I'm realizing as we're talking that we have had such a fascinating look into your journey and your past and how you've gotten to this point. And I think I'd like to make this a two-part series. I'd like to sort of today wrap up this piece of what we're talking about. And next month, let's share with everybody, you know, exactly where you are now, where you're going in the future, and how maybe some of our mompreneurs can incorporate some of these great lessons you've learned and become involved in this practice that you have and use it in their own lives.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, wonderful. I think in Transition, the album, you have a song called Great Mother,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all think about our mothers in this time in our lives. You know, especially during transition and hopefully maybe being reunited or whatever our beliefs hold. So tell us a little bit about this track and maybe we can go out on this one then and continue talking about incorporating your work into our lives in our next show.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, in the Tibetan tradition, then we have a great reverence for the feminine and that aspect of our nature. And we all hold all aspects, but we have a very deep love of the feminine. And we try to see all beings as our mother, that all beings have given us life, and that all beings have nurtured us and supported us and given us everything. So then we try to see all beings as the same as our mother, and then wish all of the best for them and wish to relieve any suffering that they have and just try to experience the world in this way.
Okay, beautiful. So yeah, we will go out on this and next month look for more of Rixon and how you can incorporate what she's doing and the beautiful life she has into your own life.
Oh, thank you so much, Tracy and Beth.
Thank you, Rixon.
Drenching.
la, la.